dedicate three babies to the Lord this morning. Jesus said that when we receive a little child in His name, it's like receiving Him. So we're so happy that we can dedicate these babies to the Lord. And we're really happy to have Brother Zach and Sister Annie back with us this morning. And I'm going to request him to dedicate these three babies. And let's really give them a good hand of welcome. Welcome back, Brother Zach and Sister Annie. Welcome back home.
Thank you very much. Sare jahan se acha hai CFC humara. That's Hindi for saying the best place in the world is CFC. Okay. It's a great joy to pray for children. Last week I prayed for my own 12th grandchild. So it's a great joy to be able to see little children being born into the church, the best place in the world they can be born into. Now I want to turn to a passage in... Sandeep has their third child. It's a boy. The name is Elias Faber. Elias is another form of Elijah, and Faber is that great songwriter who wrote, "My God, how wonderful thou art." Okay, 1 Samuel and chapter 1, we read of this woman whose name was Hannah, and her husband had another wife called Penina, and Penina had sons and daughters, and Hannah had no children. And the other wife would keep taunting her, saying, "See, God hasn't blessed you, and He's blessed me." It's a terrible thing when God blesses you in some way and you look down on others and pride yourself as though by your own cleverness you got what is the blessing of God. Children are the gift of the Lord. We must always recognize that. And when we dedicate children, we are recognizing that we don't deserve God's gift. The only thing we deserve is hell. Everything else other than that is a gift. So we must recognize children as God's gift. And Hannah, you see, we must remember that people in the Old Testament didn't have the understanding we have today. And all that Hannah had was the five books of Moses. It's about the only Bible they had in those days. And there's very little comfort you could get from there when you don't have children. So she wept before God, and she made a promise, and I want you to read that. She said, if, this is 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11, she made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will look on the affliction of your maidservant and give your maidservant just one son, I'll give him back to the Lord all the days of his life." In those days, a vow of dedication was shown by having long hair and not having it cut. The point is, here was a woman who really believed that if she ever got a child, it was God's gift. I don't know if every mother believes that, but it's a wonderful thing to believe it. To recognize that it's God's gift, and what God has given to me, I have to give back to the Lord. Now in those days, their understanding of that was, you give the child in the temple, or the tabernacle those days, there was no temple yet, where he would serve God. But today, every believer is to be a servant of God. There is no, some are called to give up their fishing or their accountant jobs like Matthew or some other job and devote their full time to the Lord. It's few, maybe one in a thousand. But 99% of believers are called to serve God as His servants along with a secular job, just like the Apostle Paul. He continued to be a minor businessman and took care of his expenses and served God. So the way we apply that to ourselves is every one of our children, every one of them, if we recognize God gave them to us, we have to give them back to the Lord. And when we dedicate a child in a service like this, it's only the first step of a continuous act of giving that child back to the Lord and say, Lord, I want this child to serve You, to live for You all the days of his life. And she kept her word. When the child was weaned, we read here in chapter 1, she brought the child to the tabernacle and presented him to the priest and said in verse 27, for this boy I prayed and the Lord has given me my petition. And I'm sure the three children who are being dedicated today, their parents prayed. I'm sure they prayed, at least when the child was in the womb. And perhaps some of them, because they didn't have children for a long time. And the Lord has answered my prayer, which I asked of Him. So, what shall I do? And the Lord has answered my prayer. I will dedicate him, verse 28, to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be dedicated to the Lord. He's dedicated to God for life. And Samuel, that little boy, worshipped the Lord there. What a wonderful example of a mother in the Old Testament who recognized this is God's gift. I'll give it back to the Lord. And I want to encourage not only these three parents, but all of us who are parents here. If you've never done it, not too late to do it now. To say, Lord, not one of my children, but all of my children, I want them to live for you. I want them to fulfill that particular task that you have for them in the body of Christ. That may not be full-time Christian work. In fact, if God calls you to be a teacher and you become a full-time Christian worker, you're living in disobedience. I believe there are lots of Christians who are living in disobedience by going into full-time Christian work or being missionaries when God never called them. You can't do what you feel like doing. And vice versa, it's true as well. If God calls you to be a missionary and you become a teacher or an engineer or a doctor, you're living in disobedience too. The thing to recognize is that your children, if you bring them up to fear God and to love the Lord, there's a particular place in the body. I don't know where it is, but there is a place in the body of Christ for them. And they must find that place. I think of it like a big jigsaw puzzle. Supposing you have a big jigsaw puzzle and a full size of Jesus, body of Jesus, space all the way to the feet. That's the body of Christ. And each piece can fit in only in one place. You know how jigsaw puzzles are. You can't take one piece and put it wherever you like. You have to put it only in one place. It doesn't fit anywhere else. If you wanted to fit somewhere else, you had to cut it and do all types of things, and there'll be a blank in that body because you did that. We're not foolish when it comes to doing jigsaw puzzles, but when it comes to the body of Christ, we don't seem to be, many of us don't seem to be so eager to find, where is my place here? We're always trying to put ourselves in somebody else's place. What if Jesus says, you've got to be in my feet and not on my face? Are you happy to be a piece on the puzzle down there instead of up here? This is the way you'll fulfill your ministry. We must never try to imitate another person. That's like cutting your piece of the jigsaw puzzle into the same shape as somebody else's. Then you won't fit anywhere. But if you keep it the way it was, there's a particular place in that puzzle where it will fit. It's very true. The body of Christ is like that. There's a particular place for each of us and for our children. We must believe that. And it takes many years to discover that. it took me maybe 15, 20 years after I was born again before I realized what my ministry really was. It'll take time, but if you train up our children in the way they should go, the fathers discipline them, instruct them in the ways of the Lord, then the mothers, like Timothy's mother, she imparted faith to her little son. And faith is more than Bible knowledge. It's good to give our children Bible knowledge. Now, how do you think Timothy got faith? Paul says to Timothy, that faith which you got from your mother. How did Timothy get faith from his mother? It must have been in different situations at home where things went wrong, like it can happen in all of our homes and does happen. And Timothy saw his mother not worked up and upset and blaming people and calm. Okay, something's happened. We didn't expect it to happen. But God is sovereign. He'll take care of it. He'll do something. So many times we worry about things which 2,000 years from now we will not even give another thought to. We'll wonder, why in the world did I worry 2,000 years ago on earth about that silly little thing which has no value now? Remember that. It has value only now, not in the future. Little children are worried about things that happen right now. But we live in eternity. And so we must impart faith, mothers especially, because they are with their children most of the time. And Hannah, more than her husband, imparted this faith. And it says every year she would go up and, you know, speak to her son and impart her faith to her. And the result was he grew up so different from the other boys of the high priest Eli. She was a poor woman. The high priest Eli was a very privileged man. The high priest was the most important person in Israel before they had a king. And his sons, Eli's sons, were very privileged. And they were corrupt. Most rich, privileged people's children are corrupt because they have position and honor and money. And Hannah was poor. Brought up her children with poverty and struggle and taught Samuel some values in those early days. The result was he must have seen Eli's children also growing up close to where he lived, because he lived in the same house almost as Eli. He saw those other boys and he was not affected by them, even though his mother was not with him. It's a tremendous testimony. Will you be able to send your little boy to some other place to live in a home where there are a couple of really evil boys growing up and your boy remains pure? I'll take my hats off to you as a mother and father if you did that. That's the work that Hannah did. That Samuel was not at all influenced by the boys living in that same home, the sons of Eli who were corrupt. A wonderful testimony. It shows how much we can put into the heart and mind of a child by prayer and instruction, even by the time they are 5 or 6 years old. That's why we got to start very early. In the first 7 years, we can impart so much to them that they almost carry those values for life. And a lot depends on the mother. I'll tell you why. Because Samuel grew up and he was a very godly man. He was the most godly man in Israel and probably the most godly man in the world at that time, I'm sure. But I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 8 and read. We read from verse 1, 1 Samuel 8 and verse 1. Samuel was old and he appointed his sons judges over Israel. Their names were Joel and Abijah. Verse 3, his sons did not walk in his ways, but turned aside to take bribes and corrupted justice. You know, judges were to judge between people, just like the high court judges here, and these sons of Samuel would take a bribe and favor the guy who gave the bribe. Can you imagine? The sons of Samuel. And Samuel was the one who told Eli, your sons are corrupt and God's going to judge them. And he saw Eli's sons die. And now his own sons are corrupt. I don't know why he made them judges. But if you want to know the reason for it, turn back to a couple of verses earlier. 1 Samuel 7. Fathers, please remember this. Verse 15. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he used to always be traveling. Always traveling in God's work. He went to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah and judged Israel in all these places. And then once in a while he'd come back to Ramah where his home was there. And he went on his circuit year after year after year after year. And his two children grew up corrupt. Now that would not have happened if he had a godly wife. And though it's not written here, I can see that Samuel's wife was not godly like his mother. If Samuel's wife was a godly woman, those two sons would not have grown up like that, even if Samuel was traveling 11 months of the year. So much depends on the mother. And at the same time, fathers who spend so many hours at work, be careful that you don't neglect your children. You know, I also had to travel a lot when my children were small. But I would pray for them, and of course my wife Annie did a great job looking after them. But I always made sure that I would spend time with them. I didn't want them to grow up and say, Daddy was so busy serving the Lord, he had no time for us. Or about you, Daddy was so busy making money, sitting and counting his money and keep checking his bank account, that he had no time for us. And with all your money, your children go to hell, and you may join them there as well. Take these things seriously. Don't play the fool. Lose your children. I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, the greatest gift God gives you is not a good job. It's not a big house. It's not a great inheritance that you get from rich parents. It's faith. It's humility. It's godliness. If you don't have that and you can't communicate that to your children, I'd say you're pathetic parents. And our goal in this church is to raise up godly parents will raise up godly children. We pray that will be so for these three families and for all of us. So, let's... John, Vijaya, and Lydia, please bring your child. We'll pray for them one by one. Okay. This is... I was trying to show you his face to you. But he's a bit shy. Okay, his name is Enoch Kenneth John. Let's... John, right? That's the church. Lord, we dedicate Enoch Kenneth John to you in Jesus' name and pray that he'll grow up healthy and strong and protected from dangers and accidents and sicknesses. Let him be born again early in life. Give wisdom to the parents to bring him up in the fear of the Lord. We dedicate Enoch Kenneth John to you. Help him to be a blessing in his home and in this church. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. That's the only way a child knows how to say hallelujah. Okay, next. Bhagyanathan and Tara. This is a meek and quiet spirit. Ariana... Jane Royce. Lord, we dedicate Ariana Jane Royce to you. Help her to grow up to be a godly girl, born again early in life. Protect her from sickness, harm, accidents. Help her parents to bring her up in the fear of God. Thank you for this gift you have given, Lord, to Bhagyanathan and Tara. We dedicate Ariana to you. In Jesus' name, Amen. Okay, Vinay and Lena. Okay, this boy is Rion Titus. Look at him smiling. Lord, we dedicate Rion Titus to you. In Jesus' name, help him to grow up to be a child of God. Dedicate it to you and protect him from harm, danger, sickness, and accidents. Make him a blessing in the home and in the church. Give wisdom to the parents to bring him up, Lord, in the fear of God. We dedicate Rion to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.
Thank you, Brother Zach, and we praise the Lord for these three babies that we can dedicate to the Lord Jesus. We want to sing this song, lovely song. God sent His Son, His name is Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive Him. So how sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the love and joy he or she brings. But sweeter still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up. Come, brothers, and let's sing together. We have a hope we can face uncertain days. Our children can face uncertain days because He lives. For Your love and care and goodness, thank You that we are not left as orphans. We are not slaves. We are sons and daughters. Oh, we bless You with all of our hearts this morning and praise Your name. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for making it possible. We don't deserve anything that You give us in this life, Lord. You've made every provision for life and for godliness. We want to thank You. We thank You for the exceeding great and precious promises whereby we can become partakers of God's nature. Thank You that we can have that life in us. We praise You this morning, Lord Jesus. We lift up our hearts. We praise You that You're alive forevermore. We lift up our hearts. Lift up your heart. Lift up your voice, my brother, sister. Let's all praise Him together. Let's make a throne for Him in our midst. He's worthy. Worthy of praise, worthy of honor, worthy of glory. All power belongs to Him. Because He lives, He's overcome. Overcome the world, overcome sin, overcome Satan, and overcome the flesh. And He stands as a mighty, victorious warrior in our midst. Bless His name. Bless His name this morning. We praise You and bless You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for the reality of what You won for us on the cross of Calvary. And You rose, You burst forth from that grave, Lord. Death has no sting. Thank You that You've overcome, Lord Jesus. We worship You this morning. We praise You. We fall down at Your feet, Lord. Bless us this morning. Thank You for Your presence, Lord Jesus. Thank You for every child You've given us in this church, Lord. We pray that not one of them will be lost. Not one of them will be lost, Lord. And they'll all be there when You come. There'll be no seat that'll be vacant. We thank You, Lord.